Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. And my very special guests. What is that guest? Is that like a cross between guests and breasts? I think so. One of them has breasts. Sonic and Lana, look, whoa, hold on a second. There was some kind of like Russian pronunciation. It was more than Loktev, wasn't it?
Loktiva, but you could say Loktev.
We could just go Loktiva.
That's right.
Yeah. And you find when you're trying to pronounce something that originated in another language, just try to fake the accent and it comes out sounding very similar to what it actually is.
Yeah. Just muffle your voice.
Friends, countrymen, Russians. It works. I assure you. And the best way to clear your throat, I found, is to say the word derivatives. And it throws.
Derivatives.
Mm-hmm. Huh? You got to do it in a kind of in a deep guttural,
a manly sort of, voice,
manly Texas voice. Yeah, derivatives. And hey, the throat is clear. It's like bam, and the dirt is gone.
Well, see, that's the benefit of pre-recording. You can just hit mute, cough, and then resume.
Yeah, yes. It is. I always found pre-recording. There's a lot less pressure on you at the time when you're doing the recording, yet there becomes an awful lot more work after the recording is done. Whereas with live radio, it's live radio, you know, it goes out, it's out, and there's nothing, there's bugger all you can do about it. If you mess up, you just got to apologize and just keep on going. And you don't have to spend so much time in the editing suites and what have you. But I mean, I've done it occasionally. Like I remember I don't know if you've ever interviewed Lindsay Williams, but he spends a lot of time prefacing what he's saying, begs the guests to do that, begs the listeners to do this, that, and the other. And there'll be these bits of information in there that he's revealing for the first time. And I went through, I think, about a 2-hour interview with him, trying to just get those best bits out of it without all the prefacing. And I turned a 2-hour interview into 23 minutes.
Oh.
You know, and that was cutting out every single every single ah, you know, just very meticulously going through it like that. And when you listen to it, it's like he's just speaking straight off the cuff and it sounds amazing. And you get just a quantitative amount of information out of there. And it becomes surprising to me just how many things that people do that with. Like I think my friend Kath, who does this magazine here, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, she did an interview with me for an hour, and I managed to cut it down to 8 minutes, because everybody, when they're talking, they'll say the same things, just in different ways, sort of thing. There's a lot that can be cut down if you really, really want to. In conversations, we add a lot of filler.
Sure, and something happens when you hit record. All of a sudden, you just forget everything. You might have it planned in your head one way, and it never goes out that way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if anybody's ever been in front of a camera and try to remember lines, sometimes they just go, disappeared.
It's like, the pressure of that red light.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, I've got an extra camera running on me as well as the webcam today. So I'm going to do a little bit of extra editing and see how we can work that one out. But the other element is, if you're going to try and produce a higher quality product, now the technology is within your grasp in order to do it. So as far as I'm concerned, I want to be a massive media conglomerate with nothing. You know, I've already got more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald, which is our equivalent of the New York Times or Daily Telegraph in the US or UK. And I'm already making 5 days a week of radio, which very few people can do. Even people who have a massive studio and are getting paid enormous, inordinate amounts of money in order to be in that studio for only a few hours a day. I'm doing it all basically for free. And so I'm doing a much better job of it than they all are.
Is there no other talk show people doing the same stuff as you in New Zealand at all?
There's my friend Vappy Kupinger, who does one night a week. my mate Wiri, who does a show on Hamilton Community Radio for about 1 hour a week. Rose down in the South Island, I think she does a day or two a week or something like that, but nobody's doing it 5 days. 5 days is really, really tough for the average normal mortal human being.
Well, sure, because you go through so many moods as well. So what happens when you wake up and you just don't feel like it? I know you have to make yourself feel like it, but what do you go through?
Wow. What do you go through when you wake up and you don't feel like it? Well, sometimes, like actually last week, when we were going in off the Easter break, I was coming back in from a big road trip. I was like, man, I can't be bothered. Like, honestly, I've been working real hard for a full on 12 weeks, recording 2 hours a day, then doing the archiving, including all the videos as well as all the audio, and writing out blogs and taking snapshots and la 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 la. You know, all this is a shockingly large amount of work, and I was just totally burnt out. And it was just like 2 minutes notice, practically. Just American Freedom Radio on the Skype, dudes. I need to take a week off. Please play some reruns. You know, I couldn't even muster up the energy to get some guest hosts or anything of that nature to come in, which is actually good for AFR because they're doing a very similar mode that I do, whereas, you know, you're just busting your ass because you have to, and it's your responsibility, and there's people out there who rely on you to do these certain things. So if I take time off, it means the board op can also take time off, and it's really good for them as well because, man, when you're not resting, you're just not yourself.
That's right. You have to recharge the batteries too. You need to go get inspired, and that means sometimes disconnecting from the computer and all these topics. I mean, we go through that with Red Ice because it's just constantly coming at you. You're researching, you're thinking, it's the emails, it's the guests, it's always something. And so sometimes you just need to disconnect and go to the beach and just get in tune with something else. Leave your body a little bit, and then you come back refreshed and you actually have something to give.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely need to get out into nature, and you know, don't even take your phone. Just get away from the frequencies, the Wi-Fi.
And also, the other element that I want to stress here is that, well, basically, it's stress itself. Because any stress that you go under can be really, really damaging to you, you know, whether that be financial stress, emotional stress, or and our jobs, basically, as they are. We're talking about the most stressful and terrifying elements of humanity that have ever really been talked about. And so there's an inordinate amount of stress with that as well. And people wonder, you know, how do you guys deal with it? And the answer for a lot of people is just like, well, man, you do have to detach, okay? You can't be in the center of a maelstrom without being hit by an asteroid or two and needing to take some time off to recharge that and things. And what's funny is every time I take time off, I even when I put it as a headline on my website saying I'm taking the weekend off, I have people messaging me saying, Vinny, I thought you'd been assassinated or that they'd shut you down or something. No, I'm just
conspiracy theorists.
Like, isn't that funny? You know, they become conspiracy theories about why conspiracy theorists take time off.
Yeah.
There's the irony.
See, not everything's a conspiracy. That's right.
Have you guys noticed, too, that there's a different feeling out in the air? I don't know if it's people talk about frequency changes or solar changes, magnetic changes, new energy coming in. Are you guys feeling any of that, especially the last few years?
Yeah.
I think 2012
in London is some darkness going on there. Really, really. Very low vibration going on in London, and there's so many chemtrails over there. I mean, we get quite a lot of chemtrails here. The other morning I was driving to work and the sun was coming up and it looked elongated, which is really weird. And there was no clouds or anything. So, you know, I think we are spiraling into some sort of energy field. definitely.
Well, I think 2012 was a really big year for me. That was the year that I decided that I would stop doing my normal stuff, you know, like stop going out to parties, stop filming stuff that didn't really matter, you know, like dance gigs and things like that just for a little bit of coin, and just focus completely on exposing scumbaggery and trying to make something happen. It's like 2012, time to stop fracking around was my motto. And when 2012 ended, I was like, so we're not experiencing some massive consciousness shift that suddenly we could all see auras and stuff and we're all holding hands and kumbaya. We're not all dead, you know? It was exactly like I thought for a number of years leading up to 2012. It's a massive frickin' psyop, and it'll distract everybody from doing what they really need to do. I understood that start going into the year 2012, so I was just like, okay, I'm not going to fall for the psyop. I'm just going to use the impending doom as an excuse to expand my radio platform as much as humanly possible and help as many people as I possibly can in whatever short amount of time that these people allegedly think that they've got left. And then when 2013 hit, it was as if a massive weight came off my shoulders and things started to speed up like really quickly. Like, frack, what month is it? It's already April. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it's fast.
Whoa! Yeah.
The spiral's getting tighter.
Yeah, well, 2012 was never about the end of the world. That just, you know, Hollywood does one movie and everyone thinks that that's what it is. I mean, how many shows between all the alternative researchers? I mean, we covered 2012 pretty deeply and it was not about the end of the world. It's about a, you know, changing times, a different dispensation, a new cycle, celestially, spiritually. And I definitely pick up on it. I picked up on it before. I was able to... I basically couldn't go out anymore. I went through this period where I was having strange anxiety attacks, even going to the grocery store for some reason. I couldn't drink alcohol, even sugar. So I went through my own little process of elimination. And I think that that's what these energies are doing. They're coming in and they're cutting things out that aren't working for you. It's like evolution is pushing you into a certain direction.
It's all in the eye. It's all in the eye of the beholder as well, because, you know, me and myself personally, you know, that's how I started 2013, just, you know, happier, healthier, that kind of thing. And then I just started doing really unhealthy stuff again. And I was like, whoa, what the heck is going on here? It's like I lost my mojo or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it happens a lot.
Yeah, it's like people are having severe personality changes, but maybe you're just becoming who you were supposed to be all along. So, and I think it is more difficult for people like us that are sensitive to go out and deal with people. It's very draining. It can be very difficult if you really pick up on things. So it's more of a challenge dealing with it when you are a minority, so to speak, the energy that we're carrying and trying to push on through. It's not easy.
No, it's not. I mean, it's like being, I don't know. We're a did you know that conspiracy theorists are a persecuted minority? You know, think about it. Every single time we open our frickin' mouths in a room full of slaves, somebody will call us a name or a conspiracy theorist. It's like being a black slave back in the day, you know? Every time you walked around, you'd have some white person call you the N-word. And if you're a conspiracy theorist, you go around at any point, you'll have some slave person call you a conspiracy theorist in an insulting way. You know, I personally am proud of the fact that I'm a conspiracy theorist. You know, it's like a conspiracy theorist pride. And, you know, with the raised fist and what have you. And,
well, it's not theory, though. It's right there if people want to do some reading.
Well, it's true. I mean,
pointing out the facts.
What was I listening to?
Facts.
Not the theories.
But here's the problem. It doesn't matter how much facts we've got. It doesn't matter how right we are. It doesn't matter how much evidence or documentation we can produce. They'll still call us conspiracy theorists. Even if they've seen the evidence. Even if they know we're right. They still call us that.
Yeah. That's right. And you can notice it in TV shows. They're really starting to use that a lot. Oh, you conspiracy theorist, you know, in like a regular 30-minute sitcom, they are even talking about that. So then everyone relates to that. Oh, that's what that is, you know.
Yeah.
Or they mentioned the Illuminati in some show, just to sort of put it out there. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched a movie the other night at my mate's place called State of Play. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's got Russell Crowe and Ben Affleck in it. And in one of the scenes, they zoom in to Russell Crowe's apartment, and they're just kind of like doing this camera sweep over the cups on his kitchen bench and stuff like that. And one of them has a Freemasonic compass and square and the G on it. And the thing is, that cup never actually gets used. It's just there, right? In what feature film presentation with $1 million budget just goes, oh, we accidentally put that Freemasonic compass and square cup there?
Yeah, have you seen the Red Ice TV clip we did?
No.
When we were talking about Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, symbolism in Hollywood movies, watch a little clip we put together there. It's just a reel of all the movies that show the pyramid in the eye.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of them. It's like, who's putting that there?
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the habit of watching stuff and then making sure I watch it on my computer so that if I see something, I can take a screen capture of it. And I must have seen the number 33 a hell of a lot of times, Freemasonic compass and squares all over the time, the Illuminati all-seeing eye with the pyramid and everything. Like, what's it called? Green Lantern, the new Green Lantern film.
Mm-hmm.
They passed this... Oh, what was it? They're going into this deep underground military research facility. And the lady's telling this dude, this is the first alien contact we've ever had, despite what the conspiracy theorists will tell you. And then the dude does this autopsy on this alien, and then he puts all the data onto a hard drive, and then he passes the hard drive to the lady, and it zooms in on the hard drive, and it's got a giant all-seeing eye of the Illuminati with the pyramid on top of it, with pentagrams all surrounding it in a circle.
Yeah, it's
you
funny.
You can't make it up. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they see, they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Bob, you're a dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got, just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. If you want to know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop. 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off, and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know, because by the time I got over the jet lag, I had to go.
Well, welcome back.
And it seems to me, if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. And what's interesting is that the dynamic that we've got here with the English-speaking world is, thank you, Rule Britannia. That's all I'll say. The dominance of the English language all around the world is thanks to, in no small part, our enslavement to the Dutch East India Trading Company. Speaking of the Dutch, the Queen Beatrix of the Dutch... The Beatrix, who plays Dirty Beatrix too, on everybody, who's a Dutch royal shill. Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands apparently is going to be stepping down soon. What does that mean? Well, it means she's going to have some other hereditary dictator take over named Wilhelm. And I'm sure there'll be another great war associated while he protects the sanctity of his left gimpy arm. He doesn't have a left gimpy arm. It's just a World War I reference to the Kaiser Wilhelm II. But anyway.
I'm sure he'll be taking her place in amongst the Bilderbergs.
Now, I've always wanted to open a Truther Cafe and have a whole lot of, you know, different meals named after conspiracy theories. You know, like for breakfast, you'll have a 9/11 pancake stack with extra hot sauce and or a Twin Tower burger or a Bilderberger.
or an Italian meal like the pasta Lindsay Williams, or a pizza like a Fibonacci pizza or something like that. You know, it'd be great. I think it'd be a great cafe to come in, have a nice meal, and hang around with other people and actually talk about some things that really freaking matter for a change. And I feel like I'm losing my motivation, right? Like, how long does it take before you've talked about so many different things that you just wonder, you know, I've talked about it. Maybe it's time to do something different. Maybe it's time to do something about it. And I think I'm about at that point where I want to do something more than just doing a radio show and publishing the videos and things like that. Like, want to get into documentaries. I'm making some music at the moment as well. And I don't know. Have you guys ever felt like that?
Of course.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Go on. Sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
I'm just trying to lose myself in making music when I've had enough of all this bombardment of information. I just get the synth out and get lost in music.
You have to think of like the ancient alchemists. They were true Renaissance men. They had their hand in philosophy and science and astrology, a little bit of everything, probably even some fashion. And I think that that's how you have to be. You have to think holistically, and you kind of, once you get into these topics, you open up and you find new avenues that you enjoy or things that you didn't know that you liked, or you feel led to go in a certain direction. And I think it's healthy to do that. I mean, I'm working on a clothing line right now that's organic clothing, but it's also high fashion, so it looks good, because a lot of this organic clothing is pretty hippy dippy, which I don't like.
I think
it would be good to go into some businesses, you know, amongst the people that are in this all community and support each other.
Definitely.
It'd be nice to wear something healthy that didn't look like a moth threw up on you.
Yeah. And something that didn't give you a bad rash, you know? Something that wasn't going to give you sexual dysfunction later on the road.
Something that didn't make you look like a history teacher.
And but by investing in each other, we keep that wealth out of the banks, and it encourages more people to get involved in, community activities, you know, whether it's setting up an allotment to grow food or clothes, or making natural soaps and things.
That's right. It's about supporting each other. People have this idea that, oh, money is evil. And it's usually the people that can't make anything themselves and don't produce anything themselves and just suck off of everyone else that says that. There's nothing wrong with money as a means of exchange. And I think that we're coming to a time that it is important to do that within our community. Support the good businesses. Support those who are actually trying to break through and do something, that do good research. Think of how many people download these shows, and if everyone downloaded gave $5, maybe we can help further some kind of research for some new energy device. You know, it won't take much, but it seems like a lot of people have this pessimistic kind of whiny attitude. A lot of these guys I notice that are into conspiracy, and it's like, grow up, you know, grow up and be a man.
Yeah. And, one of my friends, he does a lot of speaking around the country and that. And he was saying that, when you say it's a donation, rather than actually putting a fee on it, the people tend to not want to donate as much as he'd want them to, and I suppose it's about what information we value, isn't it? Would we rather spend money over here? We've got a TV licensing scam operating, so would people rather pay 150 quid to a scam, or would they rather pay somebody 50 quid to give them information that's going to really have a positive effect on their way of life?
Exactly. And you're also enabling the information to get out farther. You know, we have, it's reality. We have bills, you know, and you can't do this kind of content and put together this kind of content and have a full-time job and have a marriage. Maybe someone has children. I mean, come on, and you're going to drop dead. I mean, I have no problem being a member and supporting other people who are putting out good information or putting out good products or good books. I have no problem paying for that. Or music, of course, I want to give to those people. We have to get to a point where we're holding those people up and supporting them. I hear people complaining when David Icke charges money at his lectures. I mean, come on, it costs money to get there. It costs money for him to put together these presentations. It doesn't just happen. I mean, that's very naive.
Well, you know, it's a very collectivist mindset, don't you think, that everybody else should do all the work and I should reap all the spoils?
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's not very bright. It's not very awake and aware. You know, some of these so-called enlightened people are just, like I said, they're not generous, they're not kind, they're not giving, but they'll sit around and complain on everyone else all the time.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful for my audience as well, because not only do they donate to me whenever I need it, like whenever I need it, I always get something from the listeners who will be able to take me through the next week or whatever, but also they're not afraid to tell me that I'm wrong. And this is something I wanted to say on the show yesterday, but I forgot about it, is I want to introduce a new section to the show of Tell Vinny He's Wrong, where I'll read out emails from listeners and things like that that have shown and proven that what I've said just wasn't true. And I'll be like, oh, my God, I was wrong. Totally. Thank you very much for pointing it out. And that's actually the correct response. That's what you should be doing. I've seen other email tracks from people who will email a radio show host and go, well, this a bit of information wasn't accurate. I didn't like the way that you treated that guest or whatever. It was mean. It was cruel. You were rude to them, etc. And instead of going, hey, you know what? I need to reflect on this a little bit and try and improve my game here, they will reply with threats, swearing, accusations, or telling you that you're not doing enough, you know, that kind of thing, and just putting the burden back on them and not accepting any of their personal responsibility. I don't like that. I really don't like that. I want to do the direct opposite. I want people to critique me left, right, and center for everything that I do. Otherwise, how in the heck would I ever actually realize what I'm doing is wrong?
And there's a gentle approach to that, and then there's a hostile approach to that. And I hear a lot of hostility out there as well. I mean, we've got a great audience as well, but when I kind of poke around or I look around at some of these comments, it's like, dear God, you know, who are these people? What kind of life do they have? They're not being kind. They're not thinking about the words that they're speaking to this person and how they're putting them down. They're not thinking about, oh, eventually this energy is going to come back and hit me.
That's true. And there's two elements to it. Like, if somebody's going to criticize you, fine, take the criticism, have a look at it and analyze it. If it happens to be a valid criticism, then by George, you've got to stop doing what you're doing and start doing it a little bit differently, you know, improve yourself, correct that mistake. But if the person's just abusing you and for no reason calling you a nutsack or something of that nature, then they get blocked. And you never hear from that particular scumbag again.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't... Here's another thing. Here's the irony of it. When somebody insults me, Facebook or Twitter or YouTube comments, for some reason, it's the people who insult me that I want to reply to and try to convince otherwise. And the people who compliment me, who say that I'm doing a good job, very rarely receive a reply at all. Am I addicted to putting right douchebags and ignoring good people?
Again, I think this is evolution kind of knocking at your door and you know it, so it kind of bugs you and you're like, oh, what do I have to learn here? What is it that I have to overcome? So you kind of get obsessed with it. It's nitpicking at you and you need to kind of cut your teeth and learn how to deal with these situations better. That's why you're constantly drawn to it. And the thing is, once you learn to deal with it, it just gets more intense and more intense.
The art of discernment.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's something that I believe is quite a difficulty, because your social life changes very, very much when you go from the normality, quote unquote, in society to going on to the conspiracy side of things, metaphysical or quantum physics and so on and so forth. There's infinitum things out there that people just don't know. And once they do know about them, their social circles completely change. I think I mentioned this yesterday on the show, as I used to have two Facebook accounts, one for personal, you know, and partying type stuff, you know, family or whatever, and my conspiracy theorist one, you know, Guerrilla Media, Mr. News on Facebook. And I think I barely ever check my personal one, because this is my life. This is actually what I would rather be doing now. Yeah. Those other things that I believed used to be important to me have sort of fallen by the wayside. Problem being, my family is included in that, or my old friends are included in that. Old business contacts and things like that are included there too. And I've had to recreate my entire life in order to sustain what I'm doing now by only doing what I'm doing now. I think that's what people call a career, isn't it?
That's right.
You probably enjoyed your week off then.
Well, you know, actually, to be honest, I don't think I took enough time off. I'm still not feeling too great. There's still a lot of, stress and stuff buzzing around in my head. I don't know exactly what it is.
You want to start listening to the Swami Show? He'll sort you out.
The Watty Show?
Our Friday night show, Meditative Living. You need to do a little bit of quiet time. Get to know the inner dude.
The inner dude. That'd be a great course. You know, you pay your $500 for like a 1 day, 12-hour seminar or something. Find the inner dude.
He's calling.
Yeah, be like a men's mentoring tutorage shop or something like that. One more element I wanted to discuss before we go to break, and I think I'd like to discuss it over the next segment as well, is not necessarily just about how much your life changes by going from the, as I mentioned before, the quote-unquote normal world into the conspiracy world, but more to the point how you change and your perceptions of yourself change and actually who you are. And I think that's by learning intricate, really scary things and seeing how you react to them, really that actually tells you a lot more about who you are than just following the same old routine every day with the Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Absolutely. When you put yourself out there and you're at that fear point or that unknown point or even that zero point when you come crashing down, that's when you can really see what you're made of and who you are. That's why it's good to have those experiences as well, but people try and keep that away. They try and distance themselves from that. For instance, when the economy crashed and lots of people lost jobs, that's actually a window of opportunity at that moment to leave a bad karma company, see how and why you were supporting it, and do something new.
Yep,
that's right.
Wake up call.
We'll be right back after the break. No one's gonna take me alive. The time has come to make things right. You and I must fight for our lives. You and I must fight to survive. Welcome back, everybody. The final segment here with my very special guests. Lana, it's very difficult to remember foreign-esque names.
Loctef? That's right. Just remember Loch Ness Monster. It's pretty close.
Loctef.
Yeah, there you go.
Loctef, like the Loch Ness.
Yeah, pretty close, huh? Scotland, Russia.
Like Ness.
Clearly the same place.
Right. Your new nickname is Nessie, by the way.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, organic clothing, you say? You're designing a little bit of clothing there?
Yeah, I'm... Well, I have a mind for it, so I'm looking actually for a couple other new designers to work with to pull it together, but it's actually called Lana's Llama. I love llamas and alpacas as well, so I'm going to incorporate their fiber and make some real high-end sweaters as well, and maybe some hoodies, and then go into other more high-fashion clothing as well. So,
yeah, make them real high-tech, like llama spit-proof or something.
A little edgy, you know, not so conservative, but also tastefully done. So,
yeah.
Are you going to keep llamas then?
No, I'll have to just go out to the farms and get some of the hair. But it's great because it's all natural fiber. And also there's a lot of natural processes to dye the hair to get the achieved color that you want. And that's the other thing that I'm looking at, trying to get it to be as natural as possible, which is a challenge, but I'm going to find a way. I mean, there's lots of fibers to work with. I mean, hemp, bamboo, flax, silk. I mean, and that's what I do when I go shopping. I try and buy real stuff. You want 100% cotton, you want wool, you want natural fibers all the way. So yeah. It's challenging when you go shopping looking for that, because even right now, polyester is even on the runway, high fashion polyester. If you would have told someone that in the 60s, they would have cringed, because it used to be the old ladies wore polyester, the old men, you know, but now it's just invaded everywhere. That's when you have to say, this is a conspiracy. Why, when there's all these wonderful natural fibers to use, why are we using petrol-based clothing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, why are we even using petroleum products really at all? I mean, there's plenty of alternatives out there that are cheaper, more effective, less dangerous. It's a conspiracy. It's just that freaking simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I think it's trying to try and get us away from nature. You know, all the archonic influences. You know, trying to. You know, like we were discussing before about the transhuman agenda, you know, that is by using all these plastics and, you know, such that, you know, soon they'll have, well, I suppose they do have RFID chips in, like, labels, don't they, for, like, security purposes, obviously, to track it when it's in the shop and stock control. But eventually, with the advent of nano technologies, they'll just have these security things in these plastic clothes. And yeah, excellent, Lana, for trying to get everybody away from that.
That's right. I'm gonna make it happen.
Excellent.
See, it's gonna make it a lot more interesting when people talk about removing the tags from their clothing.
Yeah, the tag will be the clothing.
I find one thing that might have to work is just some straight out scare tactics, like letting people know about how much they're being poisoned, and also educate through the website as well. This is why you want to wear this, you know?
Are you tired of being poisoned and tracked and traced everywhere you go? Are you tired of itchy nuts or sore breasts? Why don't you buy these clothes instead, you moron?
That's perfect. I'll hire you for the voiceover.
See, I've got a gig.
Yeah, but it's crazy. I mean, look at how many guys, sexual dysfunction, and, you know, they're in their 30s and they're having problems. I mean, something's going on. Women and breast cancer and,
oh, you mentioned natural fiber bras. Yeah, that'd be good. Some of that breathes.
Well, there's cotton, but that's it. Cotton, and there's silk already. But yeah, but a lot of the lingerie companies don't do that. They always blend it with something unnatural. Yeah.
See, they fail to realize that there's nothing sexier than llama hair on your nipples.
Yeah. Maybe for you.
Hopefully off the animal.
Yeah.
While still on it.
Llamas are also very special sacred animals. I mean, even one of the glyphs over in Peru is a giant llama.
Yeah, hey, you know, the Dalai Lama. I mean, he's so sacred as.
Yeah.
Was he actually named after a llama, or is it just like some kind of linguistic coincidence?
You know, I don't know. I haven't looked into it.
Like, I don't know. Maybe you should buy a llama and just call him Deli.
Sanskrit name, isn't it?
I think it means special friend, though, Dalai Lama, when you translate it to English. Special friend.
A special friend. Yeah.
It's kind of like a terrible thing. It wasn't he like embracing sort of like the enslavement of the other people in his particular region or whatever? Like there's this serf caste of people that just sort of serve the monks and things like that and live in complete abject poverty while the monks live in this giant palace.
Yeah, definitely. You have that in Buddhism. You have that in Hinduism. The caste system is very real.
Oh, mate. Well, they're freaking enlightened, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. I've been to India and Nepal and those countries. Have you guys been over there?
No, I haven't had a chance yet.
I won't be going back to India anytime soon, I'll say that.
See, I always wanted to go to India because I'm a fan of real hot curry and also a fan of eating with my hands. And apparently they eat hot curry with their hands over there.
Yeah, they do. Right off the floor.
That'll take me back from my younger teenage days in a flat in Dunedin. Oh, yeah. There's also another element I wanted to discuss here before we end the show today as well, is I wanted to get your websites off you and let people know what's coming up on your agenda soon. So, Lana, if you'd like to lead off.
Sure. Well, you can always get to Radio 314 from redicecreations.com. There's a little widget on the side, which you can click into, and then you can see the shows that are upcoming. Next, I'm having Lisa from Tragedy and Hope. I'm looking forward to that. And then I'm also working on, with Henrik, a Red Ice TV episode. Actually, we're going to get into the gender-bending chemical conspiracy. It's a long one, so we're working on that right now. And working on some new music in the background. And my website for that is 30daynotice.com, and that's all spelled out, 30daynotice.com.
All right. Yeah. And Nick, what are you up to, man?
Website is, if you put Blog Talk and you just search for Type 1 Radio Ashram, you can get that on iTunes and things. And also, the Friends of Freeman, friendshipagenda.com. Everybody's welcome there. And you can find all the shows on there. This weekend, we have Thomas Sheridan, Irish artist and speaker and author. He talks about psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's an excellent speaker. And then
he describes most of the people that you meet in your life who employ you.
Yep, definitely. And then next Tuesday we have Ken O'Keefe on talking about his month-long trip to Iran, which will be very, very interesting. And then we have Sophia Stewart, the lady that authored The Matrix and The Terminator. She's coming on in a couple of weeks. And then there's Retta's show every week on Thursdays and Swami's show on Fridays, all at 9 o'clock GMT. So if you work that out in your own little thing. Music-wise, I'm just working on sort of a slow, dubstep-y stuff. And everybody can still go to Beatport and get the Friendship Agenda album there with lots of tunes with people like Freeman on there and that I've sampled and Freighter X and people like that. Yeah, so.
All right. Any final words of wisdom for the listeners?
Be happy and enjoy life because it's not that long.
And Lana, words of wisdom?
I'd say find the stillness Try and find the calm place. Everything else is just a whirlwind. It's an illusion, and things will calm down. Just find the still place.
Definitely.
Yeah. And my word of wisdom is try and get yourself into bad situations where you will suffer and feel terrible and things like that. And then when you get over them, you realize, oh my God, I'm actually pretty strong, and I'm capable of surviving lots of other situations. And shed your fear of life. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Thank you very much for doing so. And if you are capable of subscribing to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, you can get for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10, $20. Whatever you can afford. If you appreciate the platform that we provide here at American Freedom Radio for people to come on and, even promote their own shows and things like that, I don't care. Just do it. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Down on the left there is a PayPal button. You can either give us a donation or a recurring subscription, which is preferable. And there's even a bank account there as well if you want to set up an automatic payment just to keep the lights on, the heat burning, and the internet chugging along. We'll see you again sometime.